Welcome to Cabronas y Chingonas, a podcast where we talk about queer and Latinx topics, such as
the new Miss Marvel on Disney Plus. There's, you know, a lot of little hints here and there that it's giving bye. It's giving a lot of bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Like,
it's,
I don't
giving
think
sprinkles.
That, yeah. I don't think she's Miss Marvel just because she admires Captain Marvel. You know what I mean? I think it's like a little more than that. But
we'll see.
Say? We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What up, Cabrona?
What's poppin', Chingona? We're back.
Should we do this? Should we do what we always do by accident, but on
Let's
purpose?
Let's do what we always do. Reporting live from LA and Dallas. The weather report. So
this just in. It's fucking hot.
You know, for once, like, Texas isn't, like, completely on fire right now. It's only 90. I know. What a concept.
Only. I mean, you know what? If that's what it feels like here. That's what it feels like.
Wait, what? It feels 90 in LA right now?
Yeah. But it's because I'm indoors. There's no AC.
Correct.
You know.
Correct.
Yeah. We're at 80.
Y'all gotta go ahead and get them AC units going and running all day long now, like, because they need, like, centralized AC in LA now, because global warming is just, like, real.
You know, they have it. I know they have it, but I'm, like, too west to where we don't have it.
I see.
Yeah. So I just have fans going at all times. It's madness, which right now I don't have it on, so just know, fellow listeners, that I am suffering for you today.
She's suffering for you. She's putting herself through heat for y'all.
This is
the
what
best
Jesus
audio quality.
Like, no, I'm just kidding.
Is this how Jesus intended it? I mean, dear Lord, can we avoid the most obvious things happening in the world? We can't, right? So no. Should we talk about them briefly?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, fucking A. Fuck you to 5 out of 9 of the Supreme Court. Fuck you.
Dude, it's kind of insane just because, like, people have been reading, like, the GOP 2022 platform, and they want to secede and take away rights. It's giving 1865, and no one learned their lesson, and no one learned from history, and people have been completely disengaged from politics, or just too engaged to the point that they're believing conspiracy theories. The only conspiracy theories I believe in are that everyone's gay because everyone is gay in Hollywood. But besides that, like, you know, it's really weird out here, you know? And I think it's just kind of, you know, they're doing everything they said they would do. And the Democratic Party has done absolutely nothing because they're homies with the Republicans and they get money just like they do from screwing us over. So honestly, I think it's looking really, I don't know. There's nothing that I want to say out loud in public. If you get my drift, everything I'm thinking, I will not say on here. But I'm thinking it, and that's enough. And if you think it, also don't publish it anywhere where there's records of you saying things, honestly. It's
For
getting
real.
Really dystopian. It's getting dystopian, yeah. Dude. The privacy laws are going to, you know, there was one ruling, I think it was Lawrence versus Texas or something. It was like a 1998 ruling where, like, two gay guys were, like, in the privacy of their own home having sex, and they went inside, and that made it all the way to the Supreme Court, where they had to, like, strike down sodomy laws in 1998. Like, we were kids and they were still doing this to gay people. So I just, it's giving that's going to come back. It's giving, like, I mean, I don't know how much longer, you know, gay marriage is going to be legalized. Everything, you know, like, trans rights have completely been fucked this entire time, this, like, last couple of years. And, you know, everything's kind of really shitty here. And I was in Europe for 1 week, and I would tell you, I don't want to be American anymore.
That's so fair.
Yeah, right? Like, do I want universal healthcare, public transportation, better weather, a bureaucracy that listens to its people because the people are always threatening to fucking burn things down in Spain? Like, in Paris, in the UK, if they do something out of line, the people riot and they set shit on fire. And that's all I have to say about that. That, like, if you're protesting and it's not working, there's a reason, because they don't give a fuck. There have to be people doing other things and other parts of, like, you know, a movement. It's not just about the people protesting peacefully. It's about, you know, people who are in labor, people who are working on the judicial level. It's at all levels at this point. So, I don't know. Join your local DSA or don't, if you don't want to put your name on a list, because in fascist states, the first people they come for are intellectuals or registered socialists. So maybe not that either, but there is other ways. There's still a lot of hope. And I say just go follow Christian Stephanie on Twitter, and she'll tell you exactly what you need to get doing, because there's still hope. There's still a lot we can do, but it does feel very dystopian right now. And I guess America has always been dystopic, so it's not new.
Yeah, and what I'll add to the conversation a little bit is there's a lot of people, like you kind of mentioned earlier, going on the internet and seeing that they're going to do this and that to help abortion in other states and things like that. There's already funds and there's already organizations that are set up who are way more developed than any kind of organization that you might do on your own. So just go either help fund them or help get involved in some way. Look up your local ones or some of the bigger ones. There's already organization, there's already been work that's been done for many years. Just go support them. And yeah, it's not, you know, the fight is not over. So yeah, stop posting weird shit on Twitter. Okay.
Yeah, don't post it online anymore, y'all. Just donate to your local abortion funds and to the in the states that most need it. So, yeah, the world's on fire. But hey, we're back.
We're back after a long hiatus due to many things. Yeah. You want to talk a little bit about your overseas rendezvous?
Yeah. So I went to Spain. I went to Primavera, and that was amazing. There were British people literally everywhere.
Literally.
And there was actually a lot of, like, Texas people. Shout out to, like, a lot of random Texas Meg the Stallion fans we ran into. It was a good time. Spain is just, like, I get why they're so skinny, because they literally don't eat food. They, like, snack, and then they walk 8 miles every day. And I'm just like, wow, like, I get it. That's why I haven't seen anyone that's, like, looks like me, because y'all motherfuckers have public transportation for everyone, so you have to walk everywhere. And people that, like, you know, can't walk, there's elevators and shit. Like, it's so nice. But yeah, they don't eat food. Their food doesn't have much seasoning, not at least where I went. I mean, the food is good. You know, it's real food. What a concept. But does it have flavor? Not really. The Spanish might disagree with me, but y'all, look.
Much like the Spanish Inquisition, it is bland and flavorless.
I mean, yes, definitely. But, you know, they have real food, and you can't beat that. That still tastes really good. Like, fresh food is a great concept. But I went to Primavera, stayed out till, like, 6 in the morning every day. I got to White Girl Dance to Charlie XCX.
Yes, White Girl Dance.
A White Girl Dance to Charlie XCX, the Yeah Yeah Yeahs. Fred again is a DJ set I would love to see again and again. That was amazing. Me and this white guy had a moment with a Frank Ocean remix that came on, and we were like, yes, dude, me and you. I think it was a British guy. I have no idea. But yeah, shout out. I was with amongst the gays of Europe, and the Jesse Ware set was like, oh my God, every gay person in Europe was there at the Jesse Ware set. So shout out to the gays. Met some really cool, like, queer friends in Costa Rica. I claim them now. They're my besties. So I don't know. I would love to go back and stay there forever, but or just visit, I guess, if I have to. But Spain is cool. Like, a lot of white people everywhere speaking funny Spanish, but it's fine. I understood them. They were cool. You know, like, everyone was, like, chill. Like, the cops were asking people nicely to do things. Of course, they were white and the people they were talking to were white. So maybe, you know, if that was different, I'm sure it is over there. I'm sure it's the same. Racism is the same everywhere. One of my friends, shout out Joe, I know he kind of like got a lot of weird looks everywhere we went, being like a black man, black American man in Europe. So the vibe was definitely weird for him, and I don't blame him. Like, it definitely was different than how they treated, you know, Glow and I and my homegirl Rosa. So they did treat him differently, and you could feel it. So that it's very much there. Racism doesn't go away. But, you know, the cops were mild. They were asking things nicely, and things were very organized. And festivals in Europe are just so much better. So, yeah. And, you know, shout out to Pride because it's homophobic and I got COVID in Spain.
That Primavera strain.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was talking about, like, the only thing I got from Primavera was 20 cups and COVID. And I'm like, yeah, same. But, yeah, I brought COVID to the U.S. How are you?
That's very Spanish of you, bringing the disease over here.
Yeah. Yeah. The white man got me sick. And they got you.
They showed you their culture, and you brought it. I have been seeing Nicole Kidman a lot because I've been going to the movies a lot, ooh, and you know, she tells us how our experience at the movies should be. So I watched Marcel the Shell, which was, what the fuck, so cute.
It looks
so
amazing. Cute. I really want to see it.
I highly recommend to anyone who wants to watch something kind of like soft, but also very endearing. And I also watched Lightyear, the kiss that pissed off moms all over America. So
what kiss? Spoil it for me.
There's a lesbian kiss. It's been making the headlines.
What?
Yeah, really? There's actually, yeah, like, I recommend everybody watch Lightyear as well, because there's like this like adorable lesbian character, and there's a lesbian kiss, and they made people very upset.
Oh my god, I didn't know. I just wanted to see it for the vibes. Like, I honestly wanted to see Lightyear for the vibes.
Yeah, you should. It's pretty solid. I recommend highly, especially for those of us that grew up on Toy Story and shit, you know.
Ooh, I have another light watch recommendation. The Bob's Burger movie was actually cute.
I want to see it. I haven't gone to see it in the theater, but maybe sometime. Yeah,
worth it.
Interesting. But yeah, other than that, I don't know. I've kind of like run out of work for the month, other than, you know, podcasting stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, hire me. Hire me as a podcast editor or in television and film. You know, your girl is here. And
hire your girl, yeah. Maita, y'all. She edits, hit she produces, up. She writes. What else do you do? Everything. She does everything, y'all. She's a one-woman package. She does it all. Hire Maita.
Literally. You hit me up. Literally. I'll tell you what I can do for you. But yeah, with that said, I'm excited for today's show. I think it's a chill, like a chill little show.
Yeah, this is like it's going to be a fun one. I've been wanting to talk about what I want to talk about for a while because I just realized it's an easy binge. And I remembered, I needed to you watch it again. It actually really was amazing to watch yet again.
Has it been renewed?
Yeah, they're already shooting season two because I follow one of the actresses. I want to guess which one.
Is it Andy?
Yes, of course it's Celine. It's Celine. I, of course, follow her. I'm obsessed with her. And I think she's a lot younger. But anyways, whatever. We're not going to talk about that. But anyways, we didn't get to like do anything for Pride. Did you do Pride things?
Yeah, I went to like Venice Pride. It was kind of mediocre, if I'm being honest, but I'm glad I did it. Yeah. It just felt weird because it's at the beach, so we were sort of like caged in a little bit. And on the other side of like this fence is a bunch of straight people gawking at us and like filming us. Straight people, I swear to fucking God, if you're not going to Pride, don't fucking look in and treat us like we're a zoo. Like, holy
that
shit.
That is weird as fuck. Yeah. Gawking. Well, I mean, at least you got to avoid all the weird stuff happening in Dallas, apparently, with the Christian fascists like openly trying to like protest things in Dallas. I mean, I wasn't here for like Dallas Pride. Done it.
They've always done that, no?
They've always stood on the corners, right? Like, I'm not, it's not brand new. Yeah. But, like, I think this is the first time it was, like, they were, like, aggressive about it. They usually just stand on their side of the, where they're allowed to, like, pick it and be like, you're going to hell. And we're like, fuck you, whatever. but I miss Dallas Pride, God bless, because it's corporate now. So I want nothing to do with corporate pride. Just, you know, I don't drink anymore. So gone are the days of being, like, blackout drunk on the middle of, like, the gayborhood walking around.
We met at Dallas Pride. You remember that?
Yeah, we did shots immediately.
We did shots and it was like nice. That was before Dallas Pride got shit. But yeah,
that was a great much year. Of that day, by the time cool. I got to you, I think I was on shot number 5 or something. Like by the time we started doing shots, so yikes, y'all.
Yeah. Big yikes.
The spirit of Pride, you guys. Like, we met at Pride in person for the first time 5-6 years ago, right?
Must have been at least 6 years ago.
I don't even know.
I don't know. Maybe
what year?
No, y'all, it's gotta be
we
six.
Met at Pride, the most gay way to meet, okay?
Yeah.
And we love
By
it.
By accident, I think. But anyways.
Yeah. Oh Lord, yeah. Oh, good How times, funny. Good times.
Back to what we were gonna say. This, you know, is actually very embedded in the our culture, in our childhood, my childhood at least. I'm guessing yours too.
Oh
the
yeah.
Source material here.
The source material is very embedded in my childhood. Can we say what we're gonna cover today?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I finally we both of us, because this is something we both fucking loved. I know we loved as kids. I finally get to talk about Rebelde, the 2022 version. I'm so excited. What about you?
Yes. I'm covering First Kill.
Oh man.
Yeah. 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 I mean, like, of course I'm gonna talk about this. Like, this is right up my alley.
Yeah. Yeah. The new lesbian Buffy the Vampire Slayer of 2022. But gay. Gayer, you know.
Gay. Yeah, yeah. Gay. Oh my god, I watched the Buffy coming out scene recently, the one with
Willow.
Yeah, and I was like, ugh. Yikes, that's what we had back in the day.
Yeah.
But anyways. But let's talk about Rebelde 2022.
I love Rebelde. So this is Rebelde, the new version. Is on Netflix now. It came out this year, 2022. I think it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a reboot of a Mexican telenovela of the same name that came out in 2004. So I would have been like, yeah, this is definitely a way better version of that 2004 shit. But oh god, did I love it. And like, I don't even know. Like, is a reboot like the correct word? Maybe it's more like a, we're kind of living in the Rebelde universe versus it being like a complete reboot. There
like
are still, yeah, like a renewal. Yeah, it's just kind of like you're staying in the Rebelde universe. It's like it's the Rebelde MCU expansion universe. You know, like we're just
yeah,
we're staying here. These characters are still like real characters that might even come back and make cameos as several old actors.
A lot of them did.
Yeah, two, I believe. Or actually yeah. In this new one. So for fans of the OG 2004 Mexican version, fun
More
fact.
Mexican version. I think this one's still kind of Mexican.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the 2000, because I'm going to give some backstory in that, because they're, the OG Rebelde was called Rebelde Way, and it was, I believe, Argentinian. And then they even made a Indian version. From the success of the Argentinian version, because the Argentinian version, they got super famous in South America and they toured and everything, but they didn't have the same kind of global success that Rebelde did in 2004. And for like, to give a little bit of backstory on Rebelde 2004, it was an absolute global fucking smash. Much to maybe more, it's more globally impactful and more famous than I would say Glee was in its heyday, just because of the way that this was international. Like, Rebelde crossed over from Mexico to the U.S. very easily, and that's not something that I would say is an easy thing to do. But they did that. I remember trying to see Rebelde at like a Walmart for like a CD signing, and they had fucking. I'm telling you, I was about it. I loved.
No, everybody did. Everybody right? tried to go to that Cockrell Hill Walmart. Yes,
the Cockrell Hill Walmart. You couldn't get within miles of the place because that's how packed it was. They basically started a riot, like of little kids, and there were helicopters and cops closing streets. Like, it was insanity. And this is just like, you know, this little, you know, Mexican telenovela singing group, right? The impact they had. People were bootlegging CDs. They had Barbies. It was a global thing. The whole world, like, it was insane. It was an insane time in telenovela history. My friends who didn't speak Spanish would watch Rebelde with me every day.
What? So,
I'm telling you, they didn't even speak Spanish. That. Denzel well, would call me too- and I'd translate. He'd call me, we'd watch it together, and I'd sit That's there and translate so for him. And he'd be like,
not bilingual vibes.
And shout out to him for watching Rebelde with me. So if you're a fan of the 2004 version, you're actually, I was really skeptical coming into this. I saw trailers and I was like, super, like, this is not going to be good. Most reboots aren't. But thank God, this, again, is not a reboot. It's just, you know, part of the MCU universe of Rebelde. And thankfully, a lot of the characters are new, and a lot of the characters do kind of retain the same kind of, like, tropes, the same kind of ideas as the old characters. They have their own version of, you know, of Anaí's character, of Mia Colucci, Roberta. They even, in this new series, you're going to remember Pilar, and then Selena Ferrar is now the, she was the only fat character from the OG series, and now she's in this one and she's running the entire school. And so far, no fat phobia to or towards directed her. So I think, wow, what a concept. They're not perfect on that. We'll talk about that later. But in a lot of ways, this is the version I would have preferred because, I mean, I've gone back and rewatched the OG 2004 version, and of course, the first thing I noticed was fat phobia, sexism, racism, xenophobia. Literally every phobia is in this original OG series. Do you remember all that problematic shit, Maita?
God, no, because it was like the norm, right? Like, that was like, people wouldn't blink an eye.
Oh, God, yeah, absolutely. All those things were just normal in 2004, and I'm glad that they're not anymore. There are things that they did retain. Again, I'll talk about that in a second. But so far, it's kind of like this woke version of Rebelde that's kind of self-aware, and I really love that. It's like understood that it was wrong in the past, and I guess to like the two changes they made to maybe the main cast, the two biggest changes that matter to us, is going to be their inclusion of gay characters, with the addition of Luca, who is Mia Colucci's, I believe, his nephew, her nephew,
yeah,
or something.
Her nephew,
and
he's royalty.
Like, he's royalty, like to the school and to the OG fans. But he sucks as a character, as a human being. He's trash. He's
Which
a white.
So did Mia.
Oh, but, Mia, you know. Was. Oh yeah, you know what? It's right there. They're the same. But I wasn't a Mia stan. I was a Roberta stan. And
same.
Dulce Maria is an icon, and I love her. She's a living legend.
Okay, Frida Kahlo's niece or whatever she is.
Wait, really?
Apparently, she's like related to Frida Kahlo. Yeah.
Oh know. God, nepotism. We love it. But Luca is this unlikable Argentinian white boy who is stereotypical. You know, got a rich boy with daddy issues, and we're meant to sympathize with him towards the end. He becomes somewhat likable because, you know, he betrays, he's a class traitor, you know, ooh, he's sticking it to the man by becoming part of the people, whatever. He's cool, though. I kind of like how sassy he is. We need someone to kind of replicate the Anaí character, the Mia Colucci character, who was problematic and selfish and self-absorbed and wrong, but also extremely talented. Luca can sing his little ass off, so you know what? Shout out to him. And the inclusion of our favorite fucking character, the person we watched the show for. I mean, honestly, I watched it for everyone. But they added a openly, I don't know, has she identified as a lesbian character, but her name's Andy, and she is played by the actress Lizette Celine, who's also a musician. She is the drummer for the Rebelle Band. She doesn't get many lines in the show.
Lots of lusting looks.
Yeah. A lot of lusting looks to her closeted love interest, Emilia.
Is she closeted?
Well, I mean, is anyone closeted in Gen Z? You know what I mean? You know,
she was trying to assimilate in her own way.
She was bearding for the public, you know? She knew who she was. But she was bearding for the popularity and for her band, for her group to make it in the battle.
For the reputation of it all. But yeah. Not in the homophobic way, just in like a power structures way. I don't know.
Yeah, she like Emilia is kind of more like doing whatever's best for her brand. And because at that point, lovely gay drummer girl, isn't really like popping. She doesn't have any clout. So this character, Emilia, her Brazilian love interest. Also, I love that the inclusion of like Brazilian
people. Colombiano.
El Colombiano. We'll talk about J Balvin in a second. but like their connection is like brought up from episode one, like between Emilia and Andy, and you're like, hold up now. Did they just, yeah, this is actually going to be gay.
What was that?
Yeah. What was that? I saw that glance. And lo and behold, they start this relationship, you know, on the low because it's not good for Emilia's brand. And then, you know, later on, there's very, very cute scenes with them. And some of them are just horny. I give them that. But some scenes are actually kind of cute between them. And I love that for the kids, that they're getting a gay rebelle versus me, who is just like living off the queer bait that I invented in my own head. But but that they're like the main queer couple. Like Luca doesn't, although he is an openly gay character, it's not really, he doesn't have a love interest this season, which I'm okay with.
Okay, like they definitely did a callback to the Mia Miguel like love story with him and that other character, which obviously was not actually what it was, but like to me it was giving like something because like of the way that he was so obsessed with the other guy. Anyway, to me I was like satisfied with that.
Yeah, there's a little like what is going on here, but then it totally didn't end up being that. It was like, oh gross, no, that is not what's happening. Quite the opposite. And that was like a really compelling storyline with Esteban and Sebas. Esteban and Luca. And you know, for a minute you think there's something going on, and then you find out, because there's another addition to the new cast, that they have a J Balvin character named I'm not gonna do it, it's stupid. His name's Dixon, his alias is Dixon. And I like that they've added the reggaeton element, but I do find it kind of like a little bit too on the nose that he's like a rapper who comes from a rich family, and I think from Colombia. And it's giving way too much J Balvin, and it's kind of corny, but I'm gonna let them do that because he's actually a very cool character who is bisexual sometimes, and I like that. That's pretty cool. Like he's very like open, generous character, so I really fuck with him. And they even have like an American girl, MJ. She's a different concept. Into her. I like her.
She was giving gay a little bit.
She was giving a lot of like bisexual energy, and I'm hoping they do something with that, but we'll see. I don't know. I am not a writer there, because I still really like Emilia and Andy together. So I know that they're coming back for a season two. I think all the main cast except maybe Sebas. So I'm hoping Emilia comes back. I'm pretty sure she is. So I just saw a trailer today. But
a trailer?
Yeah, there's a trailer, dude.
There's a trailer for season two?
Yeah.
Ma'am, you're supposed to keep me up to date with these things. Like, what?
My I literally, but in my defense, I saw it maybe like an hour ago, so.
Okay. You're excused.
Yeah, I'm like, in my defense, I barely watched it. And then there's Hana, who is kind of like the obvious Anai Roberta. She's kind of like a mixture of Mia Colucci and Roberta's character, because she comes into the show already being famous. She comes into the show already having a career, and her mother being Pilar from the original series. So there are like cameos from, you know, Selena Ferrar's character and Pilar's character from the original show into this one. And there, here's hoping, if the bag is right, you know, Anai and Dulce Maria can come back for an episode. Just to say, because, I mean, their characters are very ingrained in the show. Like, Roberta's a real person.
What are they, like, what are they doing right now? They're not doing anything. They can come back to the show. I don't think their budget is that high.
I think their budget, yeah, I think they can afford them, honestly. If they can afford the music budget, I'm talking, if you like the original Rebelde songs, or just, like, if you like Mexican pop or rock music, or Latinx music in general right now, they had a Daniela Andrade song, my favorite song of 2020, was on that fucking show. Mwah. Whoever's doing the music, I love you. They did Sálvame. They had a don't make fun of me, they had a Zoé song on there. Like, they have variety and spice and everything nice, and even a Dua Lipa song, why not, right?
So Dua Lipa
Two Lips, they had a Two Lips song, come on. the budget is there.
I'm really excited. I just went and, like, I rewatched just the gay scenes, I'm gonna be honest with you guys, and yeah, I was reminded that it was cute, it was fine.
I really, like, liked it. I really, really, really liked this show. I binge watched it in a day again, and I think I watched it two or three times at this point.
Interesting.
Yeah, I really like, because, I mean, to me it's like Glee but like less corny, you know.
somehow. I mean, you gotta think of it like the old RBD, the one that caused the phenomenon. Obviously the new Rebelde is not doing anything close to that, The old Rebelde played 5 days a week, hour-long episodes, for months.
So y'all,
like, the sheer quantity of episodes, like, I miss long seasons like that, but yeah, it was just a whole different fucking story.
It was a true novella in that sense, that, like, yeah, every day,
yeah, it was
like
a novella,
three or two or something every day. I mean, it's not going to hit the same because we don't live in a monoculture anymore, and they can't overwork these actors in the same way that they were overworking these other actors. You know, I think there's unions and rules now, and, you know, novelas, they don't give a fuck. And back in 2004, let's overwork these people.
It's not even that. It's just a different format.
Yeah.
Like, novels are, I mean, like, novelas or soap operas, they still exist, they still do that, or it comes on Monday through Friday, mm-hmm, every single fucking day, like, months on end. That's, yep, still a thing, but,
and we've enjoyed, you know, that on this podcast.
Sure. But their quality is significantly, like, lower. There's a lot of repetition, you know what I mean? Like, there's a reason that they can afford to do that, but that's Netflix is not that bitch. They're not gonna do that.
Oh no, ever. And another key difference, the thing that really made Rebelde pop in 2004 that they were doing that no one really was doing back then, was that they used very normal, like, talk. Like, let's see, the writers for the original Rebelde were amazing, or I don't know how much of it was improv.
It must have been a lot of fucking improv.
I feel like it had to be a shit ton of improv. That's what I'm saying. Like, they're overworking these kids, because, like, the way they were talking to each other has a lot to do with the connection between the audience and the actual show itself. They spoke naturally the way you would talk if you were, like, in high school. You know, they spoke and they acted like teenagers, and that was, I think, a key thing that connected with the audiences, especially in 2004, where, you know, they actually saw something that was genuine in that aspect, that, like, this is how we actually are communicating with each other. The subjects themselves were insane, right? Like, it was all types of crazy shit happening that didn't make any sense, right? But there is something very special when, you know, we can speak on the same term. They understood their audience. And I think even now, I think they don't have such a strong connection because it's not monoculture, it's not novela running all day on, you know, TV versus Netflix, where everyone, you know, did have access to this novela in the past, whereas now you need a subscription. But you know, it's still there. I am, you know, not the demographic for this show. And then in a sense, I think I still am, because I think in a lot of ways they are still trying to pull in the millennials that grew up watching this. And I love it. I've spoken to other...
1,000% It's 1,000% dependent on old fans.
Yes. And I'm part of that. Like, I love this. I love it. It's for me. Like, I had Glee when I was older, but this was, like, for me when I was little. And I'm glad they made it gay. But, like, I really like this show. I really enjoyed it. I think it, like, it still retains... I think it's actually... They're more talented. No offense.
No, absolutely.
musically, I think they're more talented. Acting-wise, I'm not so sure, right? But, and plus, you know, no one is better than Dulce María to me in my mind, you know, but, and I know she's an amazing actress, but I think these kids, I think what they lack maybe in, like, charisma, their makeup, and musical talent, you know, so I'm hoping the best for all of them. Season 2 is already shooting. There's a trailer. It's going to come out. I don't know when, but I really, really love this show. I think y'all should give it a shot if you like music. If you like drama, give it a shot, because it's right there. It's all there. It's cheesy, yes, but it's also just like the world is on fire. Watch something that takes your mind off of it for a while, you know? Like Five Pan Dulces. I love this shit. What about you? How was it for you?
I remember, like, it's been such a long time since I watched the whole thing, because it came out forever and we took a long time to cover it. But I thought it was fine. It was great. Like, for what it was, it wasn't particularly... trying to step into the footsteps of the old Rebelde, which is good. It definitely morphed itself into the Netflix format of that kind of show. And it worked for what it was. And I mean, they, like, let's be real, like, half of watching Rebelde was like people shipping gay characters that weren't gay, and now they actually are. So, or, like, you know, characters that were played by gay actors that are now playing or openly gay or playing gay characters. Like, it's just a whole different, it's a whole different fucking vibe. Like, there's ups and there's downs to it, but you guys should check it out, especially if there's a season 2 already coming out. Like, holy shit.
Oh, you know what, I didn't touch on other problematic things, which, I mean, maybe it will, might have to fix my rating. It didn't make it less enjoyable, but I do have to look at it from a different lens, you know. I have to look at it like, okay, yeah, they're inclusive now. They have gay people, and they have, like, two people that aren't that white, you know? But besides that, like, besides MJ and Andy, there is still, like, no body inclusivity, you know? Like, everyone was so skinny. And I'm like, cool. They had, like, one villain be a fat man, and I was like, great. So you had to make the fat guy the bad guy, too? Like, okay, sure. There is more body diversity in, like, the side characters and in the extras. Like, Selena Farrar is the principal, and, like, there's some side characters that are musicians that are, there is real body diversity, but overall it's still just, like, skinny white people basically running the thing. With, you know, the exception of MJ and Andy, my favorite characters, obviously. But besides that, yeah, everyone's white and skinny, and those are the main cast, the main speaking roles, the people who get most of screen time. Even Andy didn't get a lot of screen time, and, you know, she didn't do a lot of talking. There wasn't much of a story there, so I'm hoping in season 2 they expand on her character and give her more of a chance to act, because, you know, her storyline was just centered around her love interest Emilia, who I feel in a lot of ways as a side character, I think they had the same amount of time on screen talking.
Absolutely.
So you know, who knows, here's hoping they do better in season 2 with her. I do like the attention that MJ gets, and how, you know, there are these stereotypes being thrown at her from the white character, which I feel like are on point. The white Argentinian boy, Luca, is always throwing these, like, very American stereotype bullshit, calling her Speedy Gonzalez and all this shit. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. From Argentinian, that's about right. That's not a lie, right? You're like, yes, that's correct. But it is still lacking in body diversity, so I'm just hoping that changes. They introduce somebody who look a little different, a little bit, who talks and maybe give everyone who isn't white a little bit more talking time. We'll see. But so far, they haven't really passed that test. But they've done everything else pretty okay. But it hasn't been perfect. So actually, I'm going to redo my score. It's going to give it 4.5 bandusas just for like their lack of true body diversity.
For sure. I'd say a half cafecito for that. And for the, also for the simple fact that I haven't wanted to go and rewatch it. And that's pretty rare for me when it comes to gay things. Like, I'm a big rewatch girl. And I haven't done that with this. But I am excited for season 2. So that says something. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. They've done a lot of things right. But, you know, it's not perfect. But, you know.
Yeah.
It's okay. But it's
body diversity, like,
yeah,
that's so rare. So rare.
Yeah. It's but, like, I, you know, I'm, like, right there, like, oh, no, no, no. Let me get back into, like, CYC mode. They're not doing that. But, yeah.
That's fair. I'm glad that you have some, bringing some critiques today, because I'm taking a different approach today.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you ready for first kill?
Oh, should we do this? I have never been ready for first kill, no. But let's go.
Wow. So first kill came out on June 10th of this Pride Month of this year on Netflix. The network that giveth and taketh, you know.
They taken.
Mm-hmm. We owe this show to the creator, Victoria Schwab. She wrote a short story by the same name and developed a show from it. But she's mostly like a novelist. So that's probably why she co-ran this with Felicia Henderson, who has a ton of experience, including Moesha back in the day.
That name did sound familiar.
And more recently, like Fringe, you know, a very like one of those supernaturally type of shows. So in her hands, I think I would trust my life. So, yeah, also honorary mention, Emma Roberts is an executive producer.
I saw that.
Which, you know, has garnered a lot of responses such as, huh? And what?
But yeah, I'm glad you confirmed that, because I was very confused looking at it. I was like, is it just a white girl called Emma Roberts? I don't know.
I mean, I'd be surprised if a random white girl named Emma Roberts got an executive producer. You know, I'd be shocked.
You're right.
I guess I could double check that, but I'm just going to go with it because it sounds right.
The vibe is right.
Yeah, I've seen Scream Queens. I'm going to be honest, though. There's a lot of millennial and older gays that have nothing nice to say about this show. So I will not be partaking in critiques today. Okay. This is my little political speech moment. This is my reasoning for why. Okay. I'm a wholehearted believer that gays should be allowed to make imperfect, cheesy, rough at the start content.
Fuck.
And
yes,
they were very upfront about the low budget. You know, what people don't think about when it comes to low budget is that time is money. You know, like, it's not just about the VFX, it's not about big name stars, it's about time and labor to work out kinks in the storyline, to try out a scene in different ways. And when you don't have that, like, and you still have fans that will love you till the end of time, you deserve a second season to try again.
And not just that, I heard they had crazy amount of viewership.
Yeah, like the same amount as Heartstopper.
I thought it was more. I thought someone
said
it was more.
Well, it's double because the amount of screen time is double.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it evens out. So yeah, anyways, I'm off my pedestal. That's why I will be taking the approach that I'm taking today.
You know I 100% agree with that.
So First Kill is kind of a Romeo and Juliet inspired vampire show with like a lesbian twist, right? Two houses divided because one family is made up of vampires and the other one is made up of vampire hunters. But if there's something that lesbians are gonna do, it's gonna make shit difficult for themselves. We have no business. We have no business dating someone who lives 1,000 miles away, but you know what? She might be the one. So
no.
So I gotta try, right? Anyways,
Yeah, you can do it.
So Juliet in this case is a vampire, and there's not a Romeo, but there's a Calliope, and she's a vampire hunter. Both either want or need to make their first kill, hence the name. So in this vampire world, I guess it's it's kind of like post-puberty that vampires have to like start sucking the blood out of people, otherwise they get headaches and could lose control and accidentally drain someone that they didn't mean to.
Yeah,
I interpret it as like hormones or horniness. I don't know, others might see it as, you know, like in your first communion where you're supposed to drink the blood of Jesus or whatever. Sorry if I'm being sacrilegious, but I'm not very pleased.
It's making sense. Yeah, wow.
Interesting. Yeah, sorry if I'm being sacrilegious. I'm not very pleased with religion at the moment, so
no, they'll be all right.
On Calliope's side, or Cal, she wants to kill her first monster so that she can be like accepted into her guild or whatever. Now, like in this world, vampires are not the only monsters, so there's other options, which I would argue that it would have been better if it was just vampire monsters. But I'm not critiquing today, so I'm not going to do that.
You know what? Buffy did the same thing. It's okay. They can do it too.
Okay, I guess. Cal is way more interested in following her family's legacy. She wants to be like included in their world and assimilate fully, you know what I mean? And Juliet is trying to go full vegetarian. Because she doesn't want to kill anybody, you know, even though she's a little vampire. She wants to be like the humans are.
I want to be where the humans are.
Literally. So there's like a lot of metaphors here, right? Like that could be interpreted. Like, is Cal representing the closeted gaze and Juliet is representing the out and proud reject my Christian parents gaze? Ooh. Or, you know, there's also this notion of like vampire supremacy in Juliet's family that's definitely giving white supremacy, because they, yes, you know, Juliet and her family, they're white as can be, and Cal and her family are black, and that doesn't mean like all the vampires are white and like all the vampire hunters are black, but that's just like the comparison that it's giving, because of their like, they have a very like, I don't know, like vampires are these like powerful beings and humans are their playthings concept, you know?
Oof, that's hitting a little too.
there's definitely something there, right?
And they're also in the South.
And they're in Georgia, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're literally like trying to, I don't know, they're kind of going all over the place, because they have this matriarchy within the vampire family, that's their legacy. Like, a woman is supposed to carry on the family name and family legacy, as opposed to how it is, you know, more frequently in our society with the patriarchy. But they're still pretty evil. I don't know. White supremacy isn't good when it's up to the white women either. So,
yeah, the UK isn't good because they have a queen, you know.
Right. Exactly. There's a lot going on, but to top it off, Calliope's family, there's like this part of it where they refuse to see vampires as anything but a monster, so they have their own version of that. This part's a little bit of a spoiler, so fair warning, but when in Calliope's family one of their own is turned into a vampire, they consider murdering that person and exiling that person. Like, what does that remind you of, like when somebody comes out of the closet, right?
Yeah,
because they see them as less than. So we're back to the queer metaphor now. And you know, I should mention Cal and Juliet being queer is practically insignificant to their own stories. They don't come out, they don't have queer angst necessarily, they have just teenage vampire angst.
Yeah,
it's a little different, I guess.
Not much different.
But that is one of the things that I appreciate about it, because it's, you know, they still get to do the sneaking around thing and like the like keeping their love secret part, which to me feels very familiar. It's just like how I began my queer life, you know, as even though it's not a good thing.
No,
it's familiar. All right. But yeah, also very important, and this is something that I've heard like in from many people and in different areas, it's nice to finally have black representation that isn't all light-skinned people. Oof,
yeah.
Like, that's really, really nice to see, especially with it being one of the starring roles and Imani being, like, a literal stunner. And Sarah Catherine, who plays Juliet, completely agrees. Like, oh. She's like such a fangirl over Imani Lewis.
We can tell she's a fan.
I think everybody can tell, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the fandom goes, a lot of the love has been going towards Sarah Catherine, you know, but Sarah Catherine herself is like, no. Like, mm-mm. Actually, I'm a big fan of Imani, you know. So shout out to her for that. And also, Sarah Catherine is giving like major queer vibes as a person, as a human being.
Yeah, as a human outside on the show.
Yeah. Honestly, both of them kind of are, but neither of them are out and queer, you know, and they don't owe that to anyone.
No.
I'm a big, like, supporter of that. Like, mind your business. but, like, she's giving a lot, you know what I'm saying?
There's a lot of energy there throughout the show. You're just like, oh, my God. Okay, do I need to change this? Like, I need to watch something else? Like, what's going on?
They do have wild chemistry, and it's kind of unexpected. Like, when I watched like the trailer, I think I was like, is this gonna work? And
yeah,
then it like
it worked.
And then it worked. I was really surprised, but yeah, from, you know, obviously every interviewer in the world that has interviewed them has wanted to try to get them to like talk about their sexuality or like something of the similar in that world, but every single time that the interviewers are like, so how, like, your chemistry, like, how did you guys know, and blah blah, and all, and they always kind of say like, yeah, it was instant, you know, like, and that's how it I think that's how it should be. Yeah. in any love interest, because there are some people out there who do not have chemistry,
dear lord.
Like, oh my god,
I think a lot of the strength of the show kind of relies on their extremely strong chemistry, because that's what makes it very believable. You're like fully brought in because you're like, oh no, these characters are like horny for each other, they like each other, like, I mean, horny is correct, because I'm like, oh
no,
my god,
you're completely, because you know, and someone made a good point in one of these interviews that I read, I can't remember which one, but mm-hmm. they said, you know, when it comes to gay representation, they're allowed to be like more promiscuous and like more horny, like literally. And like when it comes to girls, it's always like, oh my god, they had a kiss behind the trash can in secret.
No, not behind the trash can, Rebelle.
Behind the organic materials. Yeah, like
that's
no,
exactly correct. Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, I mean, obviously it's not my first choice to like see that, but like, good for them. I'm really, really happy for the kids and the people who are like getting to see this, because, you know, lesbians and vampires. Remember that fucking article that came out when this first came out, talking about, oh, this has been overdone. This has never been done.
Oh god, no. Look, if this existed when I was like 14, y'all couldn't tell me shit. I would be fully obsessed with this show. If I was like, imagine what the kids are getting now. Like, that's why I don't get the haters. I'm like, okay, you don't like the budget, that's fine, but like, you don't have to hate on some shit just because it's not like a Criterion film. We are going to be the first ones on this podcast to tell you this shit don't need to be Criterion levels good. It should and can be allowed to be a little mediocre and a lot horny, and can be for a completely different demographic and still be good.
Yeah, and even if you guys don't see it as camp, I think it's close enough.
Yeah.
I think it's doing enough.
It's close enough.
Okay.
I agree.
And
it's
also,
just
I just think that, like, it's giving, or, like, not, I need to stop saying that. Not only that, but a season two, like, imagine the amount of growth that could happen with these actors who a lot of them haven't had a ton of roles, getting a second season to, like, grow and to do better. And to develop even just the characters. Like, there's so much that could happen with a second season if that happens.
I can't believe that they're, like, even considering, you know? Like, it should have be automatic the way that people have engaged with the material, how many people have watched the material. Like, it wasn't for me, but I will watch the entire second season as well. Like, come on now.
Yeah.
That says a lot when people are like, you know what, I'm just going to watch it though. Like, I'm here. I'm already invested. Let's finish.
Exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I think it has a built-in fandom and built-in fucking promotional system. Like, this is a no-brainer. I really liked it. Like I said, don't take it too seriously. Don't go in here expecting, like, the best fucking video effects that you've ever seen. They didn't give them a budget. They didn't do that for us. They never do. So, like, give it a fucking shot. It's, like, it's has some interesting stuff in the plot. It has great chemistry with these actresses that are starring in it. And, like, it sounds like a very healthy and supportive set, which is, like, something that people don't think about, but that's really important. Like,
super rare.
Yeah, like, that's why there's so much comfort between them and between the other characters, because it's a, like, friendly, good set. And those things, like, not having a toxic set, like, helps everything. And we need more of that, period. Like, more examples of that in this industry. So yeah, my rating is... God, that's hard. Oh my god. My rating for the amount of happiness that it brought me is... I didn't need any coffee, and I watched it late at night. So I'm going to say, like... I'm going to just... there's also no... There's no big people in this at all. Everybody's really, really, like, in shape.
No body diversity at all.
Yeah, because all the, like, vampire hunters, like, all they do is train all day, so they're all buff, and then all the vampires are, like...
buff and bigger, you know?
Yeah, you can. And then all the vampires are, like, they don't eat, literally. They just drink blood.
Yeah, they don't eat.
It's, like... So it's tough, but, yeah, so I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to be really honest right now. I'm not going to critique it, but I'm going to be honest. Yeah, like, a full cafecito for this show. But I see the potential of it in the future being no cafecito. So this could be a no cafecito show.
It could.
In the future. It has that in it, you know?
It has the potential. I think, you know, like you said, if you give these actors another, like, they shouldn't even be, it's a no-brainer, like you said. Like, with any other show, we wouldn't be having the conversation of renewal at all. Like, it would be done already. And same, it was difficult for me. Like, my rating is also difficult because I'm not its core demographic. I don't want to see horny teenagers. that's kind of it, right? Like, I don't want to see horny teenagers. And it's just, like, a little young for me. Had I been younger, had I been, like, me even 16, I would, you know, this would be my shit. You couldn't tell me nothing. But as an old person, I just feel kind of, like, weird watching children be horny for each other. That's my, like, main, like, oh, I don't really like watching that. I know that they're not kids, but I don't really, you know, it's not for me. I'm not hating on it. It's just not for me. So with that in mind, and actually having watched the whole thing, it did feel kind of like a task. Just because it's not really for me. I just don't like the supernatural anymore. Like, my Buffy the Vampire Slayer and my Xena days are gone. You know, I'm not part of that. But I can respect it. So I'm going to give it, like, 3 pan dulces, 3.5 pan dulces. Just because I'm just being honest. I couldn't really get through it. But I do appreciate what it's doing for the kids. And that makes me really happy. But I can also acknowledge that, like, I just don't want to see horny kids. so 3.5 pandulces, that's all.
Fair enough. Yeah, I have high hopes. And I think that if it doesn't get renewed, that's, like, really sus of you, Netflix. Like, just saying.
That'll really suck. Because, like, that's a lot. It's giving the kids a lot right now.
Right. But yeah, that's it. Sorry to everyone for the frequent long hiatuses. We already have an idea of what we want to do for next episode, so I don't think, like, we're gonna take that long to come back next time.
No, that's coming.
Yeah, so stay tuned. Don't abandon us just yet.
We still have more stuff to give y'all. It's just, yeah, I had COVID during Pride, which was homophobic, and but it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. I'm fine. I'm still coughing, but it's fine. And, you know, we just had shit that we're just, like, the world's on fire for us, too. So it's hard sometimes for us to, like, be human and record. So, but this has been a really cool, like, fun. It's fun to record. And I'm glad that we had our break, because now I'm, like, super excited to get back into it. And, yeah, I'm not so burnt out anymore.
Right on. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, don't forget to support us by leaving a free review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Or if you do want to like fork over a few dollars, we're on Patreon and there's a ton of episodes on there, patreon.com/CUSC podcast. Or if you just want to follow us so that you can know when our next episode is, we're at CUSC podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Show notes will be on cabronasychingonas.com.
Yes. Go check us out. Make sure to follow, subscribe, and you can find me at Fried Papita on Twitter.
And I'm at Mite the Panda, M-Y-T-E Panda on Instagram and Twitter. And we're friendly, all right? We're right back.
Yeah, we respond to DMs. Unless we think you're cops, then maybe not. But like, besides that.
Don't be a cop. Just like, stop. Cop. Just if you're a cop, cop, like, just stop being a cop. You know what I mean?
Put okay, down guys. Your badge.
Bye.
Bye.